everyone. I'm your host, Mark Levine, sitting here with my co-hosts, Garland Nixon and Terry Kester. We are here every Tuesday at 7 o'clock discussing the issues of the day with ourselves and with you. And today, we get to talk about sex. Well, and politics. Sex and politics. But political sex scandals are nothing new to Washington, D.C., of course. Just recently, we had Governor Terry Sanford. Of course, he's not in Washington. He's down in South Carolina. But he told us he was on the Appalachian Trail when he, in fact, deserted South Carolina to visit his Argentinian girlfriend. We have in Washington Senator Ensign, of course, who, while cheating on his wife with a staffer, and he ended up firing both the staffer and her husband, but apparently used his parents to do a $100,000 payoff. We have, of course, David Vitters, who saw the Washington, D.C. madam. He is the senator from Louisiana. And these scandals aren't unique to Family Values Republicans either. Bill Clinton, of course, is very famous, as is Governor Eliot Spitzer. But here in Washington, D.C., we have our own hometown brand of this kind of thing, with, I guess, the gift that keeps on giving, the D.C. council member and former mayor, Marion Barry.
Who?
You've probably heard of him.
Yeah,
you probably heard of him. This time, it's not about unpaid taxes. This time, it's not about crack. Although, apparently, again, there's a woman who set him up. That wasn't a word he used. Woman used a word that begins with letter B. No, this is, of course, a story that begins with Marion Barry's girlfriend, but doesn't end there. Many of us know that, of course, Marion Barry was driving erratically on the wrong side of the road when a woman frantically tried to get the police to stop him, saying that he was threatening her, threatening to use his official position against her. He was stalking her, and, of course, the police stopped Marion Barry. Later we find out that this girlfriend of his, who's giving salacious tales to the Washington City paper, saying things that I cannot say on air.
Well, you can, but they're going to yank your license here in no time. You're off the air, kid.
I won't use the words that the Washington City paper used, but let's just say she was put out in Denver because she wouldn't do something that he wanted her to do. But the real scandal to me, and the real question that I have for both of you and for our listeners today, is when do sex scandals matter and when don't they? In this case, we had Marion Barry putting this girlfriend, this 40-year-old woman, on his payroll. First, they go out for 2 months, then he puts her on her payroll, then they break up, and then he removes her from the payroll. And in analyzing what happened to her, again, the Washington City Paper has done some amazing work on this, they find a lot worse going on. They found, in fact, that D.C. taxpayers, one of your taxpayers' money is going, spent $500,000 on a number of foundations, grant money set up by Marion Barry, where they gave the grant money first, and they didn't form the corporation until 6 months later. They later forged them with forged signatures and so forth, and later found out, we now know, that the councilman himself was directing where the cash went and funneling it through his deputy chief of staff, Brenda Richardson. So it all gets curiouser and curiouser, and I'd like to know what you gentlemen think about all this.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad to jump in here in a way. I mean, Marion Barry, as far as I'm concerned, is a disgrace, you know, an obsolete disgrace. He's a child in man's clothing, and, you know, he has been so irresponsible in so many ways, and, you know, this has nothing to do with what he may have done or may not have done when he was mayor and what was good and what was bad. I mean, that's, you know, umpteen years ago. We're talking about a supposed adult now with some supposed responsibility, and he's just a disgrace. I don't know why anybody would support or vote for this man. I really honestly don't. I mean, how many times? Good grief. Anyway, but I think the question, you know, is it's always significant in terms of politics for a number of reasons. The first one being, it's stupid. You know, politically, it's stupid because it's going to get caught. You're going to get found out. You know, there's a height of arrogance involved in it that you're not going to get caught, that you're not going to get found out either by your wife or by, you know, the press or somebody. I mean, it's just plain dumb. So that's the first strike against you. The second strike is the arrogance behind it. And the third strike, which I think is equally important and maybe most of important, and, you know, I'm not pretending that I'm a saint or anybody else I know is a saint, you know, and everybody has their own problems and their own mistakes that they've made and all that. But the idea that, A, they can get away with it, and, B, more importantly, you cannot deny, particularly if it's a married person, like most of these gentlemen you've mentioned have been, it's betrayal. And if they're going to so easily and in some cases so frequently betray what they say or have said or we say is one of the most important commitments made, why should I trust this man in any other area?
You know what? I agree partly and I disagree partly, but I want to hear from Colin.
First of all, on the Mary and Barry issue, my first thought, and I'm not defending anyone, I have my thoughts on Mary and Barry. Certainly he has been very consistent. If nothing else, he has been extremely consistent. But for starters, I think about the woman who dated Mary and Barry and it went bad. Is she shocked? You know, it's like if she dated who next, Mike Tyson? And then, you know, 6 months later something happens and she goes, my gosh, I can't believe it didn't work out. I dated Mike Tyson. If she dated Marion Barry, this is what is going to happen in one form or another. Marion Barry has been consistent. And, yes, from my perspective, it's pretty embarrassing for him. I'm embarrassed for him. But the other question always comes to mind, you know, and that is it's kind of like the preachers who, you know, go out and cry and say, I've sinned, and they come back in the congregation and say, oh, that's okay, and then they do something else. They say, Mary and Barry have been consistent, and I have to say that the people who have so supported him and said things like, but in the past he did that, I don't understand it. Now, not just this issue, but he's consistently done so many different things. Now, from the other perspective, I say this, I don't know, because do we, at what level down do you say we disqualify someone? So if someone is, you know, someone is caught being, you know, having an affair or something. If they're a politician, then they shouldn't be a politician. That's what some people thought. If they're a police officer, if they're a, you know, meter maid, if they are, you know, where does it go down?
Meter maid. Oh, meter maid.
Say, hey, this is disqualifies somebody for doing something.
Let me try to draw a distinction here, and I want to see if you all agree. And you may well not. But, Colin, you asked why would a woman, this 40-year-old woman, date this 70-something-year-old guy?
It's true.
Exactly the point. I mean, of course, he's had, I don't remember, 3 or 4 wives and cheated on all of them, and he's still married to someone else. But she was being paid.
Right now.
I mean, no, we know she was. She was on his staff. She was unemployed. In fact, when he argues why it was okay that he paid her the money, he says she was unemployed, she needed the money. And we know how much he values her because when she won't perform certain sexual acts on him, he makes her sleep out in the car in Denver. So I'm sure this woman doesn't consider herself a prostitute. I'm not calling her that. But I think Marion Barry, in many ways, is treating her like one. In other words, if you're with me, I'll pay you. I'll put you on salary. If you break up with me, boom, you're fired. And let me make this distinction, hopefully, between what you both said. Because I don't go as far as Terry and say that adultery means ipso facto you shouldn't be involved in politics. I'm not willing to go that far. I think with
that. Say that. The choice of words is deliberate. I did not say adultery. I said betrayal.
Okay.
That's significant.
Let me make a distinction here that I think it's important. When public funds are used, it matters to us, the public. As far as I'm concerned, first of all, if someone's not married, they can sleep with whomever they want. It's none of my business. I don't care if they're in politics. The consenting adult is not a child, you know.
Right.
That's fine. It's not even our business, all right? Even if they're committing adultery, I'm not a fan, but I don't know the situation with the health politician and his spouse. I was going to say wife, because I don't know of any women involved in sex scandals. It seems to always be men.
There is a problem there with testosterone, let's face it.
Right. So I don't know the situation between a man and his wife. I don't know what their deal is. She has every right to be angry. I'm not willing to go that far. But when public funds are used, which is why Senator Enzyme in Nevada, who paid off $100,000 to his mistress's husband, I got a problem with that. And when Marion Barry is paying for the girlfriend as long as she's the girlfriend and taking her off as long as she's not, I got a problem with that. When there are public funds involved, I think we have an absolute right to know as a public. When they're not, I'm not so sure.
And let me add this, too. I mean, in reality, a case could be made that Marion Barry took advantage of a person who was in a difficult financial position because he was in a position to access public funds and funnel them in a particular direction for his own physical gratification, shall we say. Certainly, when you look at this, what's going on, I mean, and I'm not saying that anybody that volunteers to do anything is not a victim, but if someone doesn't have a lot of money and some guy comes along and says, hey, I can access public funds and get you tons and tons of money if you'll do what I want, and a person is unemployed and broke, it's, I'm sure, tempting to that individual. So, I mean, you know, to be honest, I have to say a person in that position is to some extent, a victim, because they probably wouldn't have done it if somebody had to offer them a lot of money, and they probably needed the money.
And I'm not trying to be a purist here at all. And, you know, I think it's interesting that you draw the line with public funds being spent. I mean, considering how we throw around public funds and screw everything up anyway, you know, I mean, it's sort of like insignificant.
Do you screw it purposely there, or is that a... Sorry.
Never mind. Yeah, it's just my Freudian thing. It's not even Freudian. It's just the way I think.
I see.
Yeah. But I do think, and I don't want to, you know, overplay this. I don't want to sound like, you know, religious writing, because I'm not. I mean, if people, you know, screw around, you know, frankly, okay, that's their business. It's between them and their spouse, their partner, whatever. And it's between them and, you know, whatever faith they have or don't have. I'm not going to get involved with it. I'm not going to stand there and throw stones. I don't mean that at all. At the same time, there is, you know, if one thing, one of the most damaging things Bill Clinton did is he simply cheapened the presidency. And there's a lot to say about how George Bush and the nation got in because of the contrast between the two. And that's really unfortunate, really unfortunate. And it's...
I make a distinction between Clinton's private acts that clearly were, Hillary was no fan of, but didn't use, you know, and Bush basically violating the Constitution, right? There's a difference between an official act and a private act.
There isn't. I mean, because, also, but you can say that.
That's why the money bothers me.
But what you're talking about is the same thing. You're talking about a man that you can't trust politically. You're talking about a man you can't trust financially. You're talking about a man you can't trust.
Cheated on his wife. Franklin Delano Roosevelt cheated on his wife. Hey, even Martin Luther King.
And you're making the assumption that we can actually trust any of them politically.
You know, I mean, that's a good point, unfortunately. But I mean, you're trusting politicians. If nothing else, and this is why I say it's stupid as well as arrogant. You know, part of the reason that our country is, frankly, I think, in the trouble it is, I think, to the brink of disaster, is the citizenry has lost faith in its government entirely for a variety of reasons. And it has a whole hell of a lot to do with the people who are in office. And if you keep on cheapening the office the way Marion Barry does, the way Bill Clinton does, you know, you're bound to lose respect.
So I'm not willing to put Marion Barry and Bill Clinton the same category.
Saying that it's the people, and I disagree with that, because I think it's the system that's going on. I think Barack Obama continually said, you know, people feel like they're not part of the government anymore, that we have a system that simply brings the same people back over and money and all that kind of stuff. I think that if you switched out the people we have and you put in a bunch of more people, you'd have the same problem until the system was fixed. But that's a whole nother show. But my perspective is that when, and I'll go back, let me just go back to when it happened with Bill and Hillary. And my thoughts at the time was, well, you know what, that's between them. If Bill or Hill, if they can work it out, fine. If she says, hey, I can't deal with it, I'm leaving, fine. I just felt at that time, to go back to that, I felt, hey, that's between the two of them. They're not the first two people in the world who
have that. It can't be, and it doesn't become between the two of them when the man is parsing the definition of the word
in his wake.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
In his wake.
Yeah, true. So, yeah, on the other side, throw stones. I really have not. I mean, I'm not going to judge anybody, but I'm going to judge John Edwards. I mean, there's one that
let's talk about John.
Yeah, that's one that really bothers me.
It bothers you because she has cancer and because she's a sweet woman? Is that what it is?
It's all of it. I mean, to hold himself up, you know, as such a paragon. I mean, I expect...
Don't all politicians hold themselves
up? Yeah, everybody is a hypocrite. I don't know anybody that's not a hypocrite.
And what he said about poverty, it was correct.
Yeah.
Right. He's been doing his dirt, but when he said about poverty, I'm glad to hear somebody mention poverty. I mean,
but that's the point. You see, look what he did to that idea. That idea is off the table now because that moron, you know, couldn't keep his pants up. I mean, that's pathetic, but that's what happens politically.
But part of it is the difference between
who else is mentioning it. As soon as John Edwards is out of the race, that's the end of the issue.
But part of the difference is between
Obama's working on poverty? Give me a break, my friend.
Let me just say this. Let me just say this about poverty. That's
a wide goal.
But poverty isn't a real sexy thing. Politicians talk about that on the campaign trail, and then once they get in office, they deal with the people that can feed them cash.
Let me suggest.
Yes, thank you.
We live in a different world from where we lived 40 years ago. I mean, when John F. Kennedy was taken, I don't know how many women into the White House, including Marilyn Monroe, it was understood that that wasn't something you reported on. It didn't make the president look good. He wasn't, to my knowledge, and by the way, I may be wrong on this because there's some conspiracy, there's some books out there that suggest I am wrong, but to my knowledge, he wasn't using public funds. If he were, I'd feel about it very differently. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, very famously, was not faithful to Eleanor, and he was very busy with a depression and a war. When is the distinction proper? Now, again, I make the distinction based on whether or not they're misusing public funds. You, I think, Terry, go further.
I just go further because I say, you know, one of the strangest things, well, I don't want to put anybody on a pedestal. I wouldn't, but there's nobody
who would be on a pedestal.
Well, except for God, Mark, you know, but other than that.
You've never put me on a pedestal.
You know, I mean, I hate to even use the phrase because it's been overused so much, and it is the idea that character matters. You know, and it does. And granted, we have a whole lot of politicians that do not show much character. But it does matter. And at the very least, you know, I'm not trying to equate one with the other. I'm just saying that kind of action indicates something. And it and there's a lot to be said thereafter of how it's dealt with, to be sure. You know, and how the person deals with it, and how the partners deal with it, et cetera. It tells you a lot. Probably nothing reveals who that person is quite so much because it is such a private thing. It is such an intimate thing. It is such a personal thing. And the other thing is, as you pointed out, to some degree, Gunn, you damage a lot of people. I mean, you can't do it without damaging a lot of people. And to pretend that you can do it without damaging people, you know, friends, family, daughters, Bill Clinton, et cetera, is nonsense.
Well, let me.
And that says something about you. And I'm no saint. I am no saint. But that says something about the individual. Now, they can, of course, you know, correct that in lots of ways. They can do lots of things to make amends for it, et cetera, et cetera. But they cannot deny the power of that kind of action.
Let me take another angle here also. And you know, it's like I used to say about, I always use the plane. If I'm flying to Hawaii and I'm getting on a plane, and I've got two people to choose from as a pilot, and one of them is an experienced pilot, but, you know, he's kind of a little rough around the edges and he chases women. And the other one is a saint, but he's only flown, you know, a two-seater Cessna one time across the Chesapeake Bay. Give me the guy who can fly, or girl.
You didn't see that plane, did you?
So that's what I was going to say.
That's what we said. Whether it's not part of the job or not. And when you use public funds, you are violating your trust as part of the
job. So what I'm saying is this. Roosevelt did this. When I look back at Roosevelt's year, you know, four terms, I say this. I would be kind of glad he didn't get caught and get thrown out. You know what I mean? I hate to say it that way, but when you take it purely from the perspective of the person doing the job, would we have been better off to have gotten someone out of the way who was doing, fooling around with his wife and gotten, you know, Harding or somewhere in there who was still laid up?
You know that, you know,
good question.
No, and to take that view means to say, and this is where Tolstoy would definitely disagree with you, that one individual is that, this is the way our history plays it, but it's not necessarily true, is that important to the changes and the progress that's going on in a society. That the changes and the progress, or whatever they are, good or bad, are part of a much broader cultural pattern. than just one individual. And to say that the good things that came out of the Roosevelt era could not have happened without Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Tolstoy at least would say that's absurd.
The number is 202-588-0893. We'd like to hear your views on all of this. 202-588-0893. Now, of course, Ward 8 voters keep voting Councilmember Barry back in. But he's embarrassing the rest of the council and quite probably doing things that are illegal. What should the rest of the council do? Should they censure him? Should he resign? I guess you probably should they censure him? Should they try to expel him? I mean, they're investigating him right now. What should they do with him? And also want to ask you about the others. Senator Ensign, Governor Sanford, Senator Vitter. Should Elliot Spitzer have resigned? Should they all be out of office? What's your view?
Not necessarily.
No, I don't think so.
I don't connect. See, I don't make that connection necessarily in terms of the office. I mean, the pattern analogy to me is an inaccurate analogy, because, I mean, for all you know, never mind. If you knew what went on in the cockpit, trust me. But my point is,
I'm not going to touch that.
I hope you wouldn't. Right, right. Have you seen the movie Airplane? Remember the scenes. Anyway. The point is, it doesn't, I'm not saying it eliminates a man. I mean, you're taking it farther than I would take it. If somebody, if man, you know, if a guy does something or a woman does something that is illegal or immoral or whatever you want to call it, that doesn't eliminate them as a functioning human being.
Well, but they should be a public servant.
But they certainly should have to at least, I don't know, face the music somehow or other. I mean, I don't know.
Let's go step by step. Let's go person by person. Let's start with Marion Barry. You both have laughed when I asked the question, should he resign? I think you both believe that that's never going to happen. Should, assuming the charges against him are proven, and I've heard the tapes from the Washington City paper. In fact, I tried to bring in and play some of them on the air, but we're having technical problems, unfortunately, with that. But the tapes do suggest that he set up these dummy corporations and was controlling them himself, which is illegal. Should the council remove him, expel him? My understanding is they do, but I haven't looked at the law on it, so if someone can correct me and I'm wrong. But let's say they have the power. It's all about hypotheticals anyway. If they have the power to remove him, is that something the council should do, even though Ward 8 voters voted for him?
Well, I got to add one thing, and I always, I may be out of line here, but I always go back to my ACLU days, and that is, when people are accused of things, depending upon what it is,
you gotta prove
if they're not convicted, if they're not, it's not proven,
I agree.
Circumstances, you find somebody standing over a knife with a body and it's bleeding, and you assume that they murdered him, but
or standing over the body with a knife,
right? You're right.
Standing over a knife with a body, that's very difficult.
Okay, but Senator Ensign paying $100,000 or so, $96,000, I think, wasn't quite $100,000, to the husband of his who was working for him, of his mistress. Should he resign? Should he be expelled?
I wish is somehow the voters would solve the problem, which I know is equally obvious. But I mean,
well, they did with the Congressman from Louisiana, Congressman Jefferson.
Yeah,
the one that died in the freezer. I mean, they did get rid of him. They did with some of the Republicans.
I think the real question with, like, Marion Barry is everybody who voted for him has to say, why did I vote for that man? I mean, they really have to.
And, it's a democracy of representatives.
Well, then maybe Governor Elliot Spitzer shouldn't have resigned. I mean, he did a very good job. And I'll tell you one thing. Although he paid the prostitute, he didn't use public funds. So by my rule...
He took a collection in the office.
By my rule, it was his own personal funds.
And I always felt, he certainly went after the big wigs on Wall Street.
No,
so after
that.
Down.
I'm not saying there's a connection.
We have a whole host of callers here. Let's start with Evelyn. Evelyn, welcome to the show.
We can't hear her.
No, she's there. Go ahead, Evelyn.
Yes, hi. I have a comment about your conversation.
Oh, please.
Well, first of all, Marion Barry, you. Okay? No matter who you are, no matter what age you are, it just amazes me that these young women go around with stars in their eyes for anyone in a position of power. I don't care if they're 30 or if they're 100. For some reason, they must look pretty good. It just befuddles me, but that's what happens. I think also that I agree with the person who said that if they use public funds, they've crossed the line. And the reason I say that is because it doesn't seem like there's anybody in any type of position of power in Washington who doesn't eventually stand up for moral right and wrong, and then their Bible is smashed over top of them when it's found out that they've been cheating on their wife. I mean, there are dozens of people, whether it's women or boys, they're out there, and somehow this moral thing comes crashing down upon them. But when you start to use public funds to pay people with it, that is my tax money, and it means something to me, and I think that that's got to be the end of it. The John Edwards thing is nauseating also, but it doesn't seem like the young lady who is the perhaps mother of his perhaps child is being paid with public money. So I don't know how that counts, especially since, of course, he never got elected. But.
Well, thank you for your call, Evelyn. It sounds like Evelyn's coming down where I am.
That's where I'm at. What is this, betrayal? Separate your career from your spiritual values. You cannot disconnect your spiritual values from your personal behavior, your behavior with your spouse. You cannot compartmentalize your life. One of the, I think, the terrible things about power and the seduction of power is you really begin to believe you can compartmentalize your life and do whatever you want. As long as you're doing what you're supposed to do in this compartment, you can do anything you want in that compartment. And that's, to me, where the human flaw is that one wants to try to correct.
I mean, I know a lot of people that do that don't have any power, so I don't have this seduction of power.
I look at Joe Jackson. I look at Michael Jackson's father, who I think is a real evil SOB, frankly. His son's funeral, and he's like, all right, I got to bring him to the road.
And many people want to know what it takes to run for the local station board. The following announcement spells out all the requirements you need to know to become a candidate.
First, you need to be a current member of WPFW by becoming a new member, or if you're a current member, you need to renew your membership. If you haven't done this yet, you'll need to make a minimum annual donation of $25 or perform 3 hours of volunteer work at the station. You'll also need to complete a candidate nomination package posted on Pacifica's website at www.pacifica.org or get a hard copy from me. If you or anyone who's listening to these airwaves need a copy, the nomination package or electronic version can be gotten by calling 202-588-0999, extension 308, or vote WPFW@gmail.com. And you can also find it on WPFW.org. Some of the needed materials are 15 valid signatures of people you know who are current members of the station. You must complete a 500-word essay about the reasons why you want to run and have an answer to a list of questions referring to your qualifications for the LSB and your goals and aspirations for the station. If you really want to get elected, the sooner your nomination papers are received and verified, the sooner your information can be posted on your station's website and therefore viewed by all those interested in voting. Speaking of which, we strongly encourage all of you out there who are listening to participate as voters. As a voter, you also have to be a member, so renew your membership or become a new member. Once everyone hands in their nomination package, the campaign begins, and it runs from July 15th until September 30th. As local election supervisor, I ensure that the candidates have several on-air and in-person opportunities to make their opinions known to the voting public and to debate with other listener candidates during the election period.
The deadline for candidates' packets has been
been extended one day to July 15th midnight. Those interested in being candidates, please come by the station on July 15th between 6 p.m. and midnight for a final petition signing party and to hand in your packets. Don't get left behind.
Welcome back to Dialogue. We are dialoguing about political sex scandals. We're talking about Marion Barry, but not only. There's frankly, when you talk about politics and sex scandals, the names go too long for us to spend the entire show labeling them. And the question is, when does it matter? When do we have a right to know? When should they be disciplined? When should they be thrown out of office? 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Hassan, you're on the air. Talk to us.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering why you're not so adamant about the billions of dollars that have been taken and stolen from the U.S. Treasury to give to the illegal state of Israel.
That's off topic. Charge. But in my view, he shouldn't have been asked the question. You know, the Republicans put up Kenneth Starr to ask him all these detailed questions. I mean, as you know, Paula Jones was funded by all these right-wing organizations. She didn't even have a complaint until they promised to pay her way. And I just don't think a man should be asked under oath about infidelity to his wife unless it relates to a crime or misuse of public funds or in some way. So in my view, he shouldn't have been asked that question. Now, to be fair, I think that Bill Clinton, instead of misdirecting, shall we say, what he should have said is, you know what, I'm not going to answer that question. It's not relevant. You're going to have to get a Supreme Court order before I'll answer that question. Right. He didn't do that. That would have been the right thing, the way to do it. He didn't do it that way, and I condemn him for it. But I do think there is a distinction between being asked about infidelity and using public funds.
Particularly, let me add this, particularly when we get to 2009 and we look at what happened over the last 8 years. I think the argument that this happened, that he was impeached because he was lying, has been thrown to the wind over the last eight years based on what happened with the Iraq War, etc. So if that were so, then George Bush wouldn't have lasted 3 years.
Right, okay, listen, and that's a valid argument.
So it wasn't so.
Rules. removed from office. Obviously, many people disagreed, and that's indeed why he was impeached. But as far as I'm concerned, using public funds really rankles me far more strongly than just simple adultery. Thank you for your call, though, and thank you for your point. You're right. He handled it the wrong way, and he should have just said, I won't.
And I do see that Anonymous is gone, and I want to thank my wife for getting off the
phone. Sure. I want Anonymous to come back. Anonymous, if you've got news to tell us, please call back. There is a line open, 202-580-8893. All of us are very curious what Anonymous has to
say.
Right now, though, we're going to go to Erica. Erica, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're good.
Really wonderful.
Look, I'm not defending Marion Barry, but I really, really think that there's a double standard here when it comes to the politicians. Why are we asking the same questions as far as President Bush and President Cheney and all the destructive criminal activities that they participated in? Why isn't anybody asking those questions? I mean, this is why people continue to support Marion Barry no matter what he tends to do.
You raise a good point. Dick Cheney, it has been told to us, and apparently they're going to investigate, and I really hope they do, apparently did not inform Congress about a secret plan to assassinate Abdullah.
Well, but, you know, if we cut off Hassan because he wants to talk about, you know, redeployment of money and, you know, to switch base there,
say this, Erica. I understand your point, but I would say this. I don't agree with you that nobody's asking the questions about George Bush or Dick Cheney whatsoever. A lot of people are asking the questions. A lot of people are screaming the questions at the top of their lungs. Now, in defense of the Obama administration, there are people who are going nuts saying, hey, how come you haven't? He's been in there like 4 or 5 months, and he's supposed to, you know, clean up the economy and investigate everything that the Bush administration has done. Look, at the end of 3 or 4 years, when we look back, it's fair to say then the people at the top weren't investigated or business dealt with.
Really,
but now it's not fair to say.
Expectations. I mean, he's supposed to part the Red Sea in 6 months. I mean, it's very unfair what he's doing to President Obama. Another thing I want to say about is, haven't you guys noticed how people address President Obama as Mr.
This is
Obama?
Just because you like someone. your call, number one, Al. Number two, we appreciate you listening to WPFW 89.3 FM, and we certainly want you to call again next week on Dialogue and be a part of it. So thanks a lot for calling. But we do kind of want to make it a little bit of a dialogue. Thanks to people. But I'm just saying this. No, I don't dislike Mary and Barry. I think, let me say this, though. Not being from Washington, D.C., gives me a little bit of a different perspective. I don't have an emotional investment. I've talked to a lot of people in Washington, D.C., a lot of African-American friends of mine, who say, in all honesty, well, you know, this guy has, and I've heard this again, he's done a lot of good things for the city, he's done a lot of good things for people, which I don't disagree with. He has done some great things for people in the past, and I've heard that. But by the same token, that does not excuse the many things that he's done that were bad, that were wrong, that were illegal, in and out of prison, the whole scandal. It doesn't make that okay. And I think that, you know, the two are kind of exclusive of each other. A person can do bad things. I mean, a person can do good things and then come back and do some bad things, and that doesn't mean that you just overlook the bad things because of the past.
And I don't think you can rest on your laurels and then go and commit crimes and use public funds. And
having done it time after time after time, if it were one or two times, you would say, okay, maybe. But, you know, and I actually respect him in one sense for coming back and running for city council and all of that. I respect him for some of his comebacks, but I cannot respect him for falling off the wagon so many times so that he has to come back each time.
Plenty of great civil rights leaders that don't have the record of Marion Barry and haven't broken the law like he has. Let us go on, because we've got a bunch more calls. Yeah. And everyone wants to get their word edgewise. Brown is on the line. Brown, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. What I'd like to hear you guys look at for a moment as far as morality is concerned is that a relationship that existed with John McCain, where he came back from the war and ditched his wife and his entire family and went on to marry some other young girl. I've never really heard anybody in the media put any kind of a description on that. I don't know if you...
It's a good point. Let's talk about it. John McCain had a beautiful wife. He went off to war. She had a horrific car accident while he was gone. Was horribly disfigured, and he came back and apparently did not like her anymore and married someone else. Another case would be Newt Gingrich, who even more famously, when his wife was dying, was getting it on with the nurse. How do you like that? Mr. Paragon of Moral Virtues. There's certainly a lot of hypocrisy to go around.
Well, I wouldn't accuse McCain of hypocrisy. I mean, to have gone through what he went through and for her to have gone through what she went through individually, you know, I mean, for two people to be able to stay together with that kind of crisis really destroying their lives, I mean, you know, it is a sociological or psychological fact, whether we like it or not. For instance, that when parents lose a child, you know, to death or early death or an accident, it's almost inevitable that they separate.
So you excuse McCain, but you don't excuse Gingrich. Is that fair?
It's not a question of excusing. I certainly think with McCain and his ex-wife, and she, of course, you know, spoke relatively highly of him, too, you know,
yes, she did.
They both went through hell. That damages you. And to be able to say, oh, I'm going to behave like everything's fine now, that I've just gone through 6 years of torture, or I've just gone through, you know, a situation that's destroyed everything that I am physically, and walk out and say, yeah, I'm the same person, I'm going to behave the same way.
And
no,
you know,
no,
the other thing is,
asking too much of a human being.
The other thing is, when we look at the numbers, of people, of politicians who have been involved in a scandal, caught in a scandal, accused of a scandal, et cetera, you know, it becomes a reality that if we set this really high moral standard, we basically won't have any politicians. You won't have anybody at all. You know, we'll have like Sarah Palin's or something.
Well,
show.
Welcome, gents.
Hello.
How are you?
We're wonderful.
wonderful. Talk to us.
So far,
we're kind of calm.
So far, is what I'm extrapolating. You're not okay.
So you're too smart for us. We're familiar with that. We know that. You know, we just can't stand up the era.
Well, no. Come on. I'm talking to the on-bound panel now. Come on.
You are.
What's your view?
Yes. Well, you know, I think this is a question of the, is of moral turpitude. Is it a question of seasons in office? And would the public be compelled to seek legal sanctions of some sort, such as a removal from office?
Where do you draw the line, RG? What's your view?
Well, I see it as basically political and PR damage control that has to be addressed in order to keep the boat afloat for a particular partisan agenda that's behind whatever person is involved in an indiscretion like that. And,
you mean the Democrats and Republicans, Republicans and Democrats?
Kind of involved with your topic today. I didn't really see that.
Oh, well, Marion Barry,
please. On Barry night.
No. Marion Barry has been accused of using public funds. Let's be clear. He 2 months after he started dating the girlfriend, he put her on his staff, started paying her $5,000 a month, and when they broke up, he ended her. By the way, it's not just Marion Barry. Enzyme also had the girl on his staff, and apparently her husband was on his staff too, and also gave a nice little payoff of $96,000, though I don't know that it's from public funds. Marion Barry, though we know, is using, and part of the question that the D.C. Council has to deal with.
What about
is,
the governor of New York, the guy? Yeah.
Well, it wasn't public funds. It wasn't prostitute. It was definitely illegal, and many argue that Scripture was hypocritical because he prosecuted prostitutes when he was a prosecutor. But I give
you... Well, that was easy to say.
He prosecuted prostitutes when he was a prosecutor. So not every time. But no, like, the point is I give Scripture credit that he wasn't actually using public funds. I actually give a little bit of credit there where Marion Barry apparently... There's this rule the D.C. Council has that you can't have put someone from your household on your public bills. You
can't
put your
wife... Really, really asking for trouble. Because, I mean, you know, that's definitely a paper trail, a penny trail all the way back to your wrongdoing. I mean, that was just asking for it. I would think anybody that would be that, that's kind of like the, some of the dumbest criminals, you know. But, I mean, you could look at this as, is it willful and intentional? I think you'd have to probably say so. We go premeditated and you know, thought out, yeah. It wouldn't be like, you know, using the improper grammatical term on and not thinking it over before you said it. It's something you had to think out and do. So, yeah, I'm kind of have to be with you guys on this one.
Well, thanks for the call, RG.
Okay, thanks for calling.
I appreciate it. We got a whole long list of callers. You still might make it in. 202-580-893. Real quick.
Let me add one other thing. And you know, it's funny. This is an issue as with so many issues. But this is an issue that to a lot of people is emotional. What's interesting is when people make emotional decisions, they disregard as many facts as, you know, it doesn't matter. No, all the facts in the world, all the evidence in the world, when somebody's emotional, there are people who say, I like Marion Barry,
right,
and he did some good things for the city. There are people that any time you say something about Marion Barry that he did something bad, their emotional response is to get angry and defend them. There are people that way with a lot of people.
With Bill Clinton, with anybody else. The Republicans feel that way when they start going after Terry Sanford and Sarah Palin.
I love the perfect
example. Her supporters are like, why are you hating Sarah Palin?
And that's another good example of Sarah Palin is that's this. So she's a good family person and churchgoer and all these wonderful things. At what point do you bring competency into the mix? The problem I have with the base is that Republican base is they want someone who they feel is ethical and moral and agrees with them, and they place no priority on competence. I bring that back to this. Do we want Sarah Palin, or do we want some, you know, scandalous guy who's chasing women who can actually, who's, you know, not going to get confused with nuclear codes with his cell phone number and blow us all up?
Sarah Palin
is running for city council in Washington, D.C.
That's good, Mark. Hold on, guys. We got a lot more callers. 10 minutes left. Ima Han, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Drinking in order to deal with the pressures and literally the death threats he was receiving. And I think the standard that the high moral standards you
place on, especially as a pastor, I think it tends to humanize the individual. So, for example, would mention that, you know, we cannot excuse Mary and Barry for his wrongdoings, even though despite the fact that he's done some tremendous things for his city. I think it just humanizes him more. But on the other hand, I think the reality of the situation is that when you go into public life, when you go into public office, as much as we hate to say it, and I think this has something to do with systemic problems in the system itself, we tend to place different standards on them, and I think sometimes they have to maybe adhere to those standards. One of the great movies, even though it's very entertaining, is Dark Knight when Two-Face, when they had to make sure that they kept the image, because if they didn't keep this particular image, which is indeed problematic, but if they didn't keep this particular image, people would fall apart and possibly the city would fall apart. I think that sometimes when it comes to these particular standards, we hold these politicians to, despite the fact that people do cause these bad movements, the people do place a person on a pedestal and do place one person as the focal point for all these struggles that we're fighting.
We do it for sports stars, too. We put them, the swimming, when Michael... I felt bad for the guy. I'm like, so the guy won't look at you. Right now.
He makes a good point. I mean, you know, we do put these, we make a mistake, I think, as voters and as citizens. We put these people on pedestals and we expect them not to be human beings. I mean, it's a little bit absurd.
It sounds like you're switching from where you are now. You were talking about betrayal and everything. I'm going to give my bright line standard. If you use public funds, throw the guys out. If you don't use public funds, then...
It's between you and your significant other public funds. I mean, you know, I think I had $100 for the prostitute. I don't want to skip over anybody, but we have anonymous...
You made a really good point, but we've got 7 minutes left, and we're 3 callers, and I want to get to anonymous. So I think you're absolutely right. You made a very good point. I got to move on, though. Floyd, please, talk to us.
Your format is ridiculous. Because you talk to each other constantly, and you do not give the public time to engage.
Well, there's a bunch of public that wants to engage. Tell me what your views are.
More like Limbaugh and his format. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know what? We're glad you're visiting, and we certainly appreciate your input. So we're glad,
let me point out to you, Floyd, and I hope you do listen and listen often, you know, that we also each month with 5 weeks in it, we do have shows, which I just had one, that is strictly just one of us, and during those shows, we devote ourselves completely and quietly and calmly to very serious topics, you know, and not that this is not a serious topic. We do offer both, and we try to offer both. And, yes, we have a lot of fun with this. I hope you can find a way to enjoy it.
Part of the problem I have is when I see...
Not unless you allow people to talk. You cut people off when they're trying to say whatever they want to say, and I think that's wrong.
I'll tell you, Floyd, part of the reason is that there's...
They are funding your program.
There are a bunch of people who call in, and so I like to let people make their point and then move on and let other people have a chance to make their point. Do you have a view on the topic, on political sex standards?
Yes, I do.
What is that?
And I feel that adultery, period, is wrong. And whether you are in positions of high positions or just a regular John Doe on the street corner, if you're violating God's moral standards, it's all wrong. And adultery,
should a politician be fired for committing adultery? Removed from office?
Should he be fired?
Yeah, should he be removed from office?
He should be chastised, but fired, no.
Okay, I think that's a fair distinction.
He should be brought into account for that. And not only that, adultery, it is just plain wrong.
Well, thank you for making your point. I think you made it well.
Thank you, Floyd.
We have 5 minutes left and 2 callers, and the next one is Anonymous. Anonymous, welcome to the show.
Hey, let me tell you, I got a little anxiety here.
We are now. Talk to us, Anonymous. Do you know something?
This country
will go batty. Because number one, is what we have today. We have tribes, we have the lawyers and the media that if they were publicized, every one of them from George Washington on, we would have no president.
Did you know Alexander Hamilton had a sex scandal? And of course, Thomas Jefferson raped a slave, Sam Adams.
The only thing that today is the media and the lawyers. We discovered we have freedom of speech.
So, Anonymous, should we not be. So, Anonymous, should the press not investigate?
If you did something good, you would find it on the back page.
Amen.
Here's my question, Anonymous. Do you think that the press shouldn't be looking to see whether politicians are committing adultery? Is that off limits? Should it be off limits?
Well, it shouldn't be off limits, but it was off limits at George Washington.
That's true. It was. That's true. Yeah.
It was done. So now we discover we got freedom of speech. We're not afraid to speak our voice.
Part of it is we're in kind of a National Enquirer, you know, Jerry Springer kind of society where people want to sensationalize the news.
They have good things in the paper. They sell newspaper by trash.
That's true. But you know what? It's not necessarily a new thing. Grover Cleveland ran for president. I believe I got the president right here. And had a child out of wedlock. And his opponent back 100 years ago said their campaign slogan was, Ma, Ma, where's my pa? Cleveland's response was, gone to the White House. So sex scandals are as old as the Republic and probably even older.
As old as the Republicans or Republicans?
Older. We've got two callers left in 2 minutes. Let's see if we can get them both done.
I am not crazy about Bird. Never have, never will be. But he has done stuff for the people.
Agreed.
I got to get two more callers.
Surround yourself with thugs and be a thug and run this country. We are owned by Congress.
That's true. Yeah. I want to stick with the topic. We got two callers left. I don't know if we're going to get to both of you. We're going to try to get to Jim. Jim,
have a good day.
Thank you. Great call.
Jim, welcome to the show.
We've got about a minute, Jim. Jim,
are you there?
Or is it Peter? Do we have Peter?
Hank?
Jim,
we got about a minute, Jim. We're running out of time. What do you have to say?
Go ahead.
Hello?
Oh, yeah. This is Frank.
Frank. Well, we're going to have your name down.
We're reading off a computer screen. We're sorry.
I'd be interested in what Mark's top three charges against Sanford are and whether one of them is marital infidelity.
Sanford, I got to say, I would say that I've always said that adultery alone, at least as far as I'm concerned, is not a reason to move a politician from office. For me, the problem with Terry Sanford is that he left South Carolina without telling anyone where he was going, and for several days, they had no idea. Had there been an emergency in South Carolina, they didn't even know how to reach him. That, to me, is what Governor Sanford did, and of course, he lied about it. He told people he was going to the Appalachian Trail, but the lie bothers me less than the fact that he was basically gone.
You can certainly make a case for malfeasance or misfeasance there.
Now, whether he should be removed from office, I'm not sure. Ensign paying off the $96,000, that bothers me.
The point you make is actually good. I mean, it always involves a lot more than just that. You can't simplify it and say it's just a sex question. I mean, you cannot make it that narrow. It is what happens around it, before it, after it, et cetera, that really is what matters. And someone like Marin Barry, I think this is why it condemns him, because not only is it a repetitive pattern, but it's all that happens around that individual act.
We want to get out of information. Gentlemen, an hour moves very quickly, and we had a lot of callers. We went through a lot of them. I'm sorry we had to cut some of you off to get to others. But Garland, tell us how people can find you.
If you want to find me, my email is garlandn@gmail.com. That's Garland Nixon. garlandn@gmail.com or Garland Nixon Facebook me.
And Terry Kessler, if you want to find me, call my wife. No, I can't.
Does she know where you are right now?
She has no idea. WPFW.org is the best way and direct way to get a hold of me on the email WPFW.
And
thank you.
You can find me, Mark Levine. I'm on Facebook as well. I'm also on my website, RadioInsideScoop.com. We're talking about Sonia Sotomayor later on in the week. If you want to check that out, go to my website, RadioInsideScoop.com. And that concludes this week's dialogue. Come back next week.